Hey, everybody, what's happening? Is it? I'm not even sure. I think it's Tuesday night. Confirm that with me, Marty. Is it Tuesday night?
It is Tuesday night.
There you go. Marty McCooley's back. We haven't talked to him in a little while from the band The Lonely Ones. But before we talk to Marty, I got to tell you about our official sponsors here at the Bay Ragney Show. They are called Bombers and Sleeves, and they are the lifestyle apparel brand, and they're dedicated to bringing you the war on self-doubt. This is for the bold, the fearless, and the authentic souls who never back down, and they wear it all on their sleeves. Bomb your boundaries and shop Bombers and Sleeves today at bombersandsleeves.com. So without further ado, we already said hello. Let's do it again. The one and only Mr. Marty McCooley of The Lonely Ones.
How you doing, man?
Dude, it's a scary thought. Last time we talked was like almost a year ago.
Has it been that long?
It was June.
I saw your name come up, and I was like, oh, yeah, we just talked not long ago.
Yeah, it was 10 months ago.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, the last time we talked, you hadn't even released it yet, and then you sent me over like a little preview of Flash.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's all coming back to me.
That was pretty cool, man. Like, when you first told me about that, I was kind of like, that's a hell of a song to try to tackle. It's a weird song to try to tackle.
We felt the same way. I felt the same way. I was like, I don't know about this, guys. And they're like, oh, come on, you can do it. I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. And end up working out pretty well.
Yeah, it did. And then, like, I think the scarier part is, like, Brian May got to hear it too, right?
He did. It was one of the highlights of my career so far. Doing that song, like I said, you know, we could either knock it out of the park or we could get laughed out of the park. And we knew one way or the other people were going to watch the video to see if we blew it, which I do often when I see covers. I go, let's see if these people did a great job or butchered it. And I feel like we did a good job. And then Brian May gave us the thumbs up. And it was, I mean, still every day I wake up and go, well, no matter what happens, you know, Brian May saw us, you know, gave us, he said, magnificent cover. So that's a pretty good highlight. You know, every day the sun's a little brighter because of that.
Yeah, right. Any idea how he got to hear it? Did you have somebody like...
Jones, Flash Gordon himself sent it to him.
Come on.
I swear. Several people sent it to him, but Sam J. Jones was the one that pushed it over. He was like, hey, you got to check this out. So Flash Gordon himself, that was another highlight of my career. I was like, I can't believe this is happening.
Now, how did Sam J. Jones get hold of it?
It was just Shauna O'Donnell. She's amazing. She got out there and she's like, hey, I got a couple ideas. And we said, like, you know, a childhood dream ago when we were recording it, like, wouldn't this be great if, you know, Brian May heard it and gave us the thumbs up? And Shauna's like, let me see what I can do. And she was all over it. Shauna's our PR agent and she's outstanding. You know her.
Yeah, of course. Of course. She is awesome. That's great.
She's incredible. And she called us up and was like, you're never going to guess what just happened. It took about 3 weeks. Like, I can't remember exactly when she started the real push to try to get it to Brian May. And she got a hold of his agent, a hold of his PR guy, got a hold of Sam J. Jones, all those people. And she just kind of made it happen. And then she was so excited to call us. And it was like one of the coolest calls I've ever gotten.
That's awesome. That right there, that goes to tell you, like, you know, people think, oh, I get a PR person. They just set up interviews and do stuff like that. No.
True. Not Shauna. If you're looking for the top notch, call Shauna O'Donnell. She's incredible.
That's awesome. Now, going back again, like last time we talked, it was still pretty fresh, the whole, you know, pandemic shutdown thing and all. Here we are, you know, 10 months later. The world has opened up somewhat in some areas. Some areas are still a little closed. How about where you are? How you been dealing with things? What have you been doing with yourself?
I'm in Columbus, Ohio. Wonderful city. I love this city so much. It's been really great to us. Very progressive city. Cool place to live. What we did, you know, when it first started, we were freaked out to even be around each other, you know. So we were isolated and did everything that we were supposed to do and followed all the guidelines. And then as we, you know, more information started coming out, we're like, okay, we've been very isolated. So if you're, you know, if the four of us are isolated, then maybe we can get together and should be okay. So we started to write, and record. And we took off to a place called the Recording Workshop in Chillicothe, Ohio, which is one of the oldest running recording colleges. And because of the pandemic, they kind of shut down. And our producer, engineer, one of my best friends, Joe Veers, that runs Sonic Lounge, is where we do all our recordings at. He went to school there in the 90s. And a friend, Jacob Mooney, also went to school there. So we brought those two guys in, and they had a connection. And they went to the recording workshop and was like, hey, we're looking for this, you know, up on Cripple Creek kind of cabin thing where we can go off and our cell phones don't work and we can go write for, you know, 15 days and see what happened. And that the recording workshop said, have at it. You can have this place. You know, no questions asked. Don't trash the place, but you can use our entire facility. Places had room and board, had a kitchen, everything.
Oh, wow.
So we went off for 15 days and locked the doors and didn't come out and wrote and recorded and got a lot of stuff done. And then we signed to, I think Sean was on there. Hi, Sean. We signed to Imagine Records during the middle of all that. While we were at the cabin, we were talking, you know, negotiating with Imagine Records, which is Morgan Rose from Seven Dust is our A&R guy over there, Stephen Nathan and Bob Weingard, CEO and vice president. And they put a deal on the table that was very artist friendly. We talked to them, you know, several times a week, and they're so like open what we want to do. And it's a really nice feeling to have a label that we feel important and priority over there. And they really care about what we think, which is, you know, like, what do you guys want to do? I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Exactly. So there's been some things happen, you know. It's been locked down, so it's not been as busy as I would like to, but we've made some pretty big steps during all this. So, you know, I can't complain.
So, I mean, it sounds like, pandemic excluded, overall, it was pretty a pretty good year because you guys got to, you know, get down to basics, get the writing, recording done and all that. On top of it, get a label deal.
Yes. I love to write and record. It's one of my, you know, I love playing live. That's one of my favorite things. But the other parts of it too, I like equally as much. I love going into rehearsal. And, you know, we do 6-7 hours a day at rehearsal. I love that. I need that every day or I feel like I'm useless. And then going into the studio and seeing those things, you know, materialize and come back through the speakers at you and sometimes sounds better than you had it in your brain. And the same thing with videos. I love doing videos. So I enjoy every bit of it. So, you know, when we weren't allowed to tour, we really focused on the stuff that we could pull off and got a lot of work done. It was a strange year to be in, you know, a brand new band and not be able to, you know, do anything
right.
As far as get out and promote and stuff like that. But it was a strange year for everyone. So, you know, I was lucky enough that, you know, the stuff that we had to sacrifice and stuff was not as bad as what some people had to go through. So I feel pretty lucky about it. And there's a light at the end of the tunnel, you know. The vaccines are out. There's several different vaccines or places are starting to open up slowly. The virus is on, you know, it's the cases are going down faster and faster each day. And you can see the political climate as far as on social media and stuff. People are starting to be kinder and kinder toward each other. And so it's a good thing. You know, we're coming out of the darkness slowly but surely.
Right. But yeah, it was pretty dark there, especially, you know, last year, election time, and beginning of this year, like that 3-month span was pretty ugly.
It was pretty ugly. And I understand, you know, people mm-hmm. were angry, people were scared. You take away concerts, you take, you know, people lost their lives, people lost sure. their livelihoods. So I get it, you know. I understand why some people didn't believe it was real. Some people were so horrified they wouldn't even look out the window. It was a strange, strange time. It was Absolutely. Something I thought we would never experience. In my lifetime, I never thought, you know, there's going to be a global pandemic and, you know, but it was, I mean, to watch the death toll rise like that so fast mm-hmm. and to watch, you know, people that I know, you know, get sick or I knew some people that didn't even know they had it. And I know,
yeah.
I know other people that are no longer with us. So it was definitely, it was, you know, try to be tough and all that. But it was a scary time. I remember going to the grocery store and nothing on the shelves and thinking, this is the beginning of something really, really bad. And like I said, I was fortunate enough that I never got it. And my really close family members stayed very safe. And so I was fortunate. All the other bad stuff, you know, we were all in it together. So,
absolutely. You
know, I come out of it a lot luckier than some people that I know. So
I'm with you.
Thankful for that.
I'm with you. Now, in that time, you guys released, you actually just released a new song a couple of weeks ago, which is actually the fifth single already you guys have released. So is this going to be like a precursor to the album? Are you guys going to release all the singles and then the album? Or
I think so. We were talking about, you know, now it's a singles game now. I mean, I don't sound like everybody on has their own how to get famous in the music industry video types or whatever. Tony Robbins of the music industry. You know, with social media and everything moving so fast, it's like when you put out a record, where do you go after that? You either go on tour, which we're not allowed to do right now, or you immediately put out another record. So our thing to stay relevant and in people's faces and keep people excited is, you know, there's so much to choose from. Spotify, I think, is what, 40,000 songs a day are getting uploaded.
Wow.
Yeah, something crazy like that. It might even be more than that now. So for us, with our social media presence and stuff, we're feeling like, you know, a new single every 3 to 5 weeks is a pretty rapid pace for us. And Imagine Records feels like that's the same kind of idea they want to do. And then, you know, get out enough to where, okay, here's the EP, and then bam, you know, we did 17 songs.
Oh, shit.
17 songs that we've come out with, or that we have ready to go. And I just feel like, I mean, that's the way to do it now. It's like, bam, rapid fire, something new. Because I've put out albums before, and you go to Spotify or you go to Apple Music or whatever, and you can see, you know, through our distributor, what the singles are the ones they're listening to. And I feel like, right, you know, number 8 on the record is this great song, and nobody heard the damn thing.
Yeah.
So this way, you just, you know, instead of, oh, there's these great songs that nobody heard, you kind of get to force feed it. It's your own way of forcing it on people and keeping it exciting and keeping your name in everybody's, you know, stratosphere.
Now, are you going to, you mentioned EP, is there going to be like an EP release, or is it going to be a full length, or?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going to happen. We got with Imagine on, it was an EP idea at first, but things are going really well, and we really trust those guys. So it may move a little bit farther than that.
Now, you mentioned the Spotify world, and it was actually something I really wanted to bring up to you, because I saw in the press release for your latest single, Change the Station, it mentions, you know, how you guys are being added to rock radio, but then it also says you've been added to over 100 Spotify playlists at this point. And I think to myself, which is more important? It actually sounds like the Spotify playlists are now more important than getting on rock radio.
It depends. They both have their place. Rock radio is still very important. Like I said, being in Columbus, Ohio, we have one of the biggest influential stations in the country, 99.7 The Blitz. And they added our single, and we're like, oh, shit, we're back. We're back in the game, guys. But Spotify, you know, it's, I get it. I mean, I understand why it's so important. It's easy. You know, I remember being when the, you know, Apple Music and all that stuff, iTunes and all that stuff, me being a musician was like, it's messed up that people don't buy records anymore. At the same time, I was downloading singles on, you know, Spotify and Apple Music.
Right.
I always paid for it. You know what I mean? But it's just so convenient. And that's, you know, I always said this, is, you know, there used to be a bunch of lamp oil salesmen that ruled the world, and now we have electricity, and that's the same kind of thing. Technology is always moving forward. As a listener, it is wonderful to have all these avenues and all these bands that you can just think about and have right in the palm of your hand immediately. As a listener, it's incredible. As an artist, you know, we'll figure out ways to keep the ship sailing. But as a fan of music, it's amazing.
It's funny because for the longest time, like, I fought against doing the whole Spotify thing. When I was doing my old show, my co-host kept trying. He's like, you got to do it. He's like, I'm telling you, it's amazing. And I broke. Yeah, exactly. And then I broke down and I gave it a whirl. And I was like, this is the greatest thing a music fan could ever ask for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It did. I mean, I got the big headphones. Everybody makes fun of me because I have the old school huge headphones where you can actually hear bottom end and stuff. And music sounds amazing. It's all encapsulating. And I'm first thing I do when I wake up, pop it in the phone, walk around my headphones on, clean my house up
yep.
the night before. And same thing at nighttime and through the day. And yep. go out to the parks and do my walks and workouts and all that stuff. And it's constantly just music playing nonstop and whatever, you know, it's so, sometimes it's overwhelming, but you know, just anything that comes to my mind, it's bam, got it right now.
Yeah.
And with new music, same thing, you know, alerted immediately when somebody puts out a new single. New
Baby
single came up yesterday or 2 days ago. And I was like, immediately, the second it came out, I heard the release and my guitar player, Jake, was like, oh, have you heard the new Baratunes? And just, you know, just it's exciting. I'm a big fan. I was a big fan of MTV, and I did the same thing mm-hmm. with MTV. It was on constantly.
Right.
And didn't matter what genre it was on. I was watching MTV and you know, loved the Pop Hour and the Rock Hour and the Yo MTV Raps Hour. And so same thing with Spotify. It's like my playlist is vast and bizarre. From, you know, from Wasp on one side to WAP on the other. It's like, you know, so it's pretty awesome. As an artist,
yeah.
As a listener, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. I was just listening to the new Paul Stanley album, that Soul Station thing he put out, and it's amazing. And you know, the normal, as much of a diehard Kiss fan as I am, I would never go out to a record store and pay money for that.
I get it.
You know,
I'd support Paul. I support Paul on anything that he does. He's one of my heroes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would pay to go watch him do it live, for
it's
sure.
Just, it's changed so much, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like when you can have it in your hand right sure. now. I mean, what are you going to pick? To be honest, the cat's out of the bag. We're all going to pick the, you know, $12.99 subscription for every song ever made. You know, I mean, vinyl and stuff is cool, and I got some vinyl, and you know, I still use Apple Music as well. So I have a couple subscriptions to different platforms. But I mean, it's just amazing to as soon as it's out, it's in your hand.
It truly is. Now let's talk about the new single, Change the Station. Like when you guys first put it out there, I mean, my instant thing was it was about radio. And then when I listen to it, I'm reading the lyrics, I'm like, oh no, this is about TV, the news, everything that's going on.
I thought about that. I was like, well, when we get a radio, I wonder if they're just going to go, what the hell? But you know, my political beliefs, I don't really like to, you know, talk too much about how I feel about things. But I feel, you know, everybody has their opinion and everybody's votes and decides, you know, with their vote, which way they want the country to move. And that's the way it works. And that's great. But during the pandemic with the fear and the anger and no concerts and no movies. And after everybody watched the Tiger King, binge that. And, there was nothing else to do. So people just got angry and you could see their fear and their anger and they turned on each other and both sides. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. You know what I mean? It's like, I get it. If you're like, oh, you know, I'm conservative or I'm liberal. It's like, now you want to kill each other?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? And it's like 4 to 8 years, it's going to go one way a little bit. And then the next 4 to 8 years, it's going to go this way a little bit. And it's going to shift back and forth. And this gas prices are always going to go up and down. Taxes are always going to go up and down. There's always going to be some old dude in there that doesn't really give a shit about you telling you we're all in this together. So, you know,
exactly.
Why am I going to fight you over it? It's like, you know, I'm a very liberal leaning person, but you know, my friends are conservatives and I have liberal friends and conservative friends and I care about them all very dearly and wouldn't want anything bad to happen to any of them. So to see friends that I've had for years talk about wanting to, you know, murder people and shit, this is like, what is happening? I have to say this, the QAnon thing and all that stuff. I mean, I lost some friends to the QAnon thing and it's just like, come on guys. I mean, that's like a bad Stephen King novel. that's so unbelievable. I mean, it took me about, I followed the whole thing because I was like, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not a rocket scientist, but within the first 5 minutes, I go, this is also not true. This, you know what I mean? It's like, this is lizard people eating children. And it's like the whole, what is it called? Adrenochrome. It's like, now we know about science. If you eat this adrenochrome, it keeps your youth and your power. I go, that's just not how science works. That's like out of a fairy tale and not a good one. So it was pretty crazy to see all that happen. And I think, you know, when you take people's stuff away, they look for answers and I mean, it was a huge movement and it was bizarre to watch. And, you know, that was on one side. And then the other side had their crazy movement that was also bizarre to watch. Like, what are you talking about? So I said, we get back to the middle.
There you go.
Back to rock concerts and start, being happy for each other again. And what I've learned is that we need each other. And when we can't have each other, we turn on each other. And we always have. So, you know, it was a nice little experiment in the human race. And it did not go well.
That's a nice way to put it. I like the way you put that.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's time to move on. I think it totally is correct, and I think the perfect way to move on is by what you guys you announced last week, and one of the first like rock bands to really go out there and announce a tour.
Yeah, we did it for August because we felt like, you know, we had when the pandemic started was 2 weeks, right? It's so long ago, I don't know if I'm remembering that correctly. It's like 2 weeks or maybe a month or something like that. And it just kept going and kept going. And we had dates, you know, as a brand new band, we're like, we have to get out on the road. We have to see people. We have to, you know, have to let people know what's going on. And that's how you do it as a band.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the main ways to do it. So it just kept going and kept going. So we would book dates and, okay, we're going to be able to play in October of last year or, you know, March of last year. And it just kept moving and moving. And, you know, we kept hearing things like, it's going to be over now, it's going to be over now, it's going to be over now. And the dates kept moving back and kept moving back. So finally, we just picked a date way far away and said, let's just put it here, stop moving dates. You know, promoters and club owners and stuff, I mean, you know, it's not fun to call them again and tell them, hey, we can't do it. Or them call you and say, hey, it's you know, we're not open up yet. So we moved it far enough away that we could really focus on it fingers crossed, pretty sure that it was going to be the right time for everyone to be safe and for the restrictions to be lifted and for everyone to get back in the swing of things. So August 19th, I think, is our first date. It's still 4 or 5 months away, something like that, but there's something to look forward to.
Now, is there going to be like any special restrictions? Like I was just messaging the other day with actually Corey Taylor's wife about their upcoming tour. They're touring in May.
I think they're early and they have restrictions. I think by the time we get to August 19th, there will be no restrictions.
Okay.
I hope so.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be like, you know, like crowds allowed back on the floor and all? Or?
I think so. That is the plan. That's why we picked, you know, August. So that we could come back to an actual, you know, like we would call it an old school rock concert at this
point. Yeah. Yeah. Like actually the other night I'm here in Nashville and we went for the first time, since all this has happened down to, the Honky Tonks. We went to Kid Rock's place, as a matter of fact, and they still,
that's an awesome place. I got some friends that go there all the time. So he's there all the time too.
Yeah. Actually, my fiance's, friend, her husband is the band leader for the house band.
Oh, nice.
So we went with them and, he was saying, he's like, it's funny. We went to dinner beforehand. And my fiance says, now, you know, she was breaking my ball. She's like, yeah, you know, are you going to be nice to him? You know, to have a conversation with him. I said, no, I'm going to say, do you know Kid Rock? Do you call him Kid or Bob? So
Rock.
Mr. Rock, right. We went to dinner and he says to me, he's like, yeah, he goes, yeah, Bobby's coming over tomorrow night. He's going to hit the club and he's going to play with us tomorrow night. And I just started laughing. I turned around. I said, see, he calls him Bobby. See, oh,
yeah. I would not. my friend plays in the Tip. Do you know the Tip down there?
Mm-mm.
Gotta check them out. Great band from Nashville. They got a house band too. Like that's what they do through the week, is they gig all down the strip. And my friend from up here moved down there, and he became good friends with Yellow Wolf and Kid Rock and all those guys. He said they're just out everywhere. He said that Kid Rock's the nicest dude you'll ever meet. He said so accommodating and stuff. Like he'll go out and hang out, and they're like, "Oh, you can stay at our house." And it, like, he's just the nicest guy in the world.
That's what I've heard. But the place, well, actually, the whole strip, you know, through this whole thing, has been pretty dead. But we were there. It was Friday night, and it was packed. It was like you wouldn't have known that anything was going on. Now, there were still the restrictions in the club, like you can't be on the floor, you know, so many in the club at once. And, you know,
bartenders all wearing masks.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that whole thing's still going on. But
I get it. But people are wanting to be out so bad. And a lot of people, you know, gotten vaccinated or had the virus or are just saying, you know, take the chances. And I get that. You know what I mean? It's like in a perfect world, we would all follow rules and we would all, but this is not a perfect world. And I understand, you know, like I don't blame anybody for their reaction or you know, the steps they've taken. It's like, I mean, I get it. It's like you coop up human beings for a year, you're going to get some crazy shit happening on your hands. And you know, I mean, we've been pretty good about it. You know?
Yeah.
We've been decent about it. You know, so, you know, people have behaved themselves pretty well, all things considered.
I think that's like the total vibe I was just getting to. Like, people are at the point now where they're like, all right, like, let's get back to some normalcy here and let's go rock and roll.
Oh, gosh. We need it so bad. I think that's what's going to happen when the virus starts to go away, and I think that everybody has realized how much we need each other and how important concerts are. I think there's going to be this renaissance at like the 70s. I think people are going to put their phones down, and roller skating rinks and bowling alleys and live music venues and movie theaters are going to be packed to the gills again.
Yeah, you know, I think I was thinking about this earlier. I was saying to myself, like, I think this might be like what the entertainment industry as a whole might have needed to boost, you know, because, you know, you're like in the middle trenches of the club scene where, you know, one night you're playing to 200-300 people, next night you're playing to 2-3 people.
Yeah.
I think this is going to boost things across the board.
I haven't done the 200-300 people in a long time.
Thank God.
I've done the 200-300 people several times. I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be, like I said, like the 70s and 80s. The clubs are going to be packed again. There's going to be music scenes popping up again everywhere. And people just, you know, on a Monday night when you go, I don't really feel like I got to work tomorrow, you know, in August, you're going to go, I'm going. And I don't care.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. So now, on this tour, which I'm really excited about, you guys are bringing out my boys from the Philadelphia area, Sunflower Dead.
I heard a lot of things. I've never met the guys, but everybody I talk to is like wonderful people, wonderful guys to tour with, and great band live. And so I've never met them, but we've, you know, corresponded back and forth on the tour. They just seem really great, and there's a lot of buzz about those guys. And repeatedly, I've heard from people that have toured with them that they're a wonderful band to tour with. So I'm excited about that. And then we have Co-op, which is Alice Cooper's son's band.
Yeah.
And they're rad, too. I checked out their stuff. I was like, these guys are good, man. So it's going to be a fun tour. I don't know why we're headlining, but hopefully it goes well.
Now, just that, I mean, headlining, it's not Boba Flex no more, right? But are you still going to bring any of the Boba Flex classics out or
no? It's two separate things. You know, and this is a new thing, and this is where all our attention is at. You know, Boba Flex was a huge part of my life and I loved it very much. And so when it was over, we're still going to do some things here and there because it was too much fun and my brother needs his outlet, but there were four of us, our priority is the Lonely Ones, and it's a totally separate thing.
Nice.
Some of the guys look the same, but it's a separate thing.
It's truly looking forward and not in the past.
Absolutely.
Nice. So now you got 5 months more to kill. What do you do now?
Rehearse. shoot videos, rehearse, get ready. I want to come out on stage and just on fire like we've never been on fire before. We're preparing every day. You know, 5 months is a long time, but we're using it as hard as we can. You know, so I want that first show for everyone to be just like, oh, these guys are for real. And then, you know, we're through Imagine, we're releasing, they want to speed up the process of singles, which I think is a great idea.
Wow.
So we're, you know, we're staying busy. So we're going to shoot videos, putting the finishing touches on songs. You know, we got all these songs done. They're not quite ready for consumption yet. So we're doing the putting them through the gauntlet, you know, as fast as possible. The cool thing about Imagine is, they're like, every one of these songs are a single. I was like, sounds good to me, man. That's the point.
That's awesome.
So they really believe in us and they're behind us 100% and digging what we're doing. It's been a great relationship with them. And the fact that they wanted to speed up the process of getting the singles out, I was like, yeah. So by the time we hit the road in August, there'll be 9-10 songs out. That's damn near a full set list.
That's awesome. Now, are you guys going to do a video for every song?
I think that's the plan.
Wow.
We'll see what the budgetary restraints are. yeah, that's the plan. And we have a really cool guy by the name of Keith Williams that we do our videos with. It's a very collaborative effort. He's awesome. He's in the group pretty hardcore, and we work really well together. So that is the plan between us, the band, and the labels, to have a video of every song. The days of following the bouncing ball are over. People, I think the term was see what they hear now, or something cool like that. Somebody said
right.
That. It's like, I wrote it down probably backwards, but you know, videos are very important. We're a very good audio visual kind of nation and kind of world. And, you know, I love listening to songs, but when there's a video that accompanies it, just something special happens to me. I get into the song way more. I feel it just a little bit more.
I'll let you in on a little thing. I might actually, I was talking to them earlier. I was asked to audition to host a hard rock metal show on a new like Headbangers Ball type show.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah, so I'd had my own weekly show. So
is it on TV?
It's on Roku.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did you say yes?
Well, I sent my audition thing in, so I got they. I talked to the dude today. He said send another one in. They want to see another one. So
all right. So if you get the gig, you're gonna do it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So here, I'll be on Facebook. It's a yes for you.
It's a yes, and I'll be playing some lonely ones.
All right, I'm excited. Like, I think it could work again. Maybe I'm crazy, but I think it could work again. I'm tired of seeing people fist fight each other over dinner. You know what I mean? I like the reality shows. I remember when they were fascinating and they were cool, and I was ate up with them.
Yeah.
I'm ready to see some dragons and some rock and roll on TV again. It's like,
right?
You know, I'm ready for. Some nonfiction. I'm ready to see some, you know, it's like I'm tired of rich people, you know, punching each other over something I don't even understand. It's like, all right, that's enough. Cool, you had your time. Go away. Let's get back to music on television. Because I think it would work again. I don't have a marketing degree, so maybe I'm wrong. But I would subscribe to that channel today.
I don't know why it ever stopped. Honestly, that's what I've been trying to figure out.
I don't either. And like I said, you know, I remember the time I was in, you know, I'm old enough. I'm moisturized. You probably can't tell. But I remember that I want my MTV, that whole campaign. And my mother worked for the cable company. So we had it early.
Wow.
And I remember thinking it was the coolest thing ever. And it was on from the time I woke up to when I rushed home from school. All the way through TRL to Headbangers Ball. I remember seeing Welcome to the Jungle premiere on Headbangers Ball. My brother called me from college. He's like, hey, there's this band I just saw on Headbangers Ball, and they're called Nirvana. This song's called Smells Like Teen Spirit. You got to watch it tomorrow night. It's going to be on 120 minutes. You got to check this out.
And oh, my God.
All kinds of stuff like that. I remember when, you know, Metallica 1 debuted.
Mm-hmm.
And that was this... just
that was it. That was like a worldwide event.
Oh my God, it was huge, and I was hooked. And I was already hooked, but that was it. I was like, this is the greatest band ever. And MTV News, all that cool stuff.
Yeah.
It was like, YouTube and everything is kind of taking up the space, or is absolutely taking up the space. But it was just wonderful to have all that stuff in one spot. And then if you got on MTV, man, your band was, it was. You know, they call it breaking
yeah.
band. Your band was broke. You broke through. It was incredible, and I'm ready for that to happen again.
Yeah, I forget. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was saying that just, you know, not even about MTV, but just TV in general, you don't realize how important TV is until you are on TV and you experience it and you see the level of difference between radio and TV. It's worlds apart.
We just did a thing. Absolutely. We just did a thing for radio in our hometown. We played a live concert, two songs for the Blitz. And the program director, Hal Fish, who's become very good friends of mine over the years, he called me up and he liked a new single. He's like, we're adding a single. And they called me a few days later. I was like, hey, I want to do this thing. It's kind of like Howard Stern, where, you know, we're going to do it over Zoom so people can hear it on the air and watch it live. And that was my first thing. I was like, you know, with all due respect, I have no interest in playing acoustic on a Zoom meeting. He's like, awesome. I like where you're going with this. What do you think? And so we went to the studio, Sonic Lounge Studios. We brought in Brian Jester, who's done all the live stream stuff. So we had four different cameras and this magical, you know, we had real guitar, you know, big guitars, big drums, everything, did the whole shebang. And so it was live on Facebook and live on the air. And it wasn't working right up until the last second. Bam, right? It was like, oh, it's too late. We got to go. Bam, it's worked perfect. And, you know, that behind the scenes kind of stress stuff, I miss that stuff too. I'll never take anything for granted. I'll miss it. Like, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. We're going to blow the whole thing. And then bam, right at the last second, everything worked perfect. But it was cool. It was like kind of like the, you know, the little MTV experience. It's like we played live. It sounded incredible.
It sounded, I went through and watched it earlier. It sounded great.
Yeah. I got to give it to. And that's the funny thing too, is like, you know, we've been in rehearsal and stuff and we haven't played live. That's the first time we heard ourselves. I was like, shit, we sound pretty good, man. You know, in rehearsal, it's like, oh, we got to work on this. I missed this part. I think I'm a little flat here. I think I'm a little, you know, it feels like I'm jumping the gun here. You're jumping the gun there. And then when we heard it back coming through the speakers, because, you know, we recorded it. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, we're not to the level of tightness that we want to be yet. We're a lot farther along than I thought we were.
Now you just got to get to Nashville.
Absolutely. I love Nashville. I can't wait to come down, play Nashville. I know we're in Johnson City. I know we're in a couple different places. But yeah, we're coming to Nashville for sure. There's more. We have more dates on the books. We just haven't announced them yet. Nice. Because it's so far in advance, you know.
Okay. Sweet. Cool. Well, dude, this was a great catching up. Congrats on everything.
Thank you, man. Sam, good luck on the TV show, man. I hope you get it.
And thanks, man.
If you get it, I'll tune in every week.
Yeah, man. I'll be sending it to you, and you'll be seeing yourself on there.
All right. Sounds good, man.
Marty, where should we send everybody to get up to date with on The Lonely Ones?
Type in The Lonely Ones on any platform. We're the ones with the blue check mark. We come up. You type it into Google. That's us. We're the guys with the long hair and the cool guitars.
Easy to find.
Yep.
I love it. Dude, thanks so much, man. Great catching up. And let's not wait another year, or hopefully you're here in Nashville within the year.
All right. I can't wait to see you face to face, sir.
Absolutely, bro.
Later, bro.
With mask. Take care.